We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast today. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be spending the next half hour together talking about the fruit of the Spirit is, wait for it, patience. everybody's favorite topic. And so we want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you're in the central part of Brevard County, you can give Bill Andriak a call and see if you can set up a time where he can come out, take a look at your unit and get it up and running efficiently, getting it working sufficiently. And he will give you the most efficient and the best counsel that he can give you, whether it is a typical outside unit with an air handler on the inside, or whether it's a split unit or a mobile home unit. You may want him to take a look at your heating system in case we have cold weather that's coming in. I understand that this week in Oklahoma is supposed to be a little bit cooler, and I'll be out there taking care of some family matters that need to be addressed. And so pray for me that my strength holds up, and we look forward to getting back sometime next week and getting back into the normal swing of things. But we are, if Bill Andriak can give you a call or can help you out, give him a call, 321-759-3284. That's Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. So today we are going to talk about a passage of scripture that demonstrates a great tendency in the human condition. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. And it says there in verse number 22, Matthew 18:22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you, let's go back up one more verse to verse number 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. That was the question. That's about six times more than most people are willing to forgive. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. We often look at this passage from the concept of forgiveness, and that's very important because that's the crux of the matter. It was what sparked the question in Peter. It is what the ultimate lesson is in verse number 35. But in between the beginning and the end is this lesson on patience. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8 says, "The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Patience is not an emotional mindset that we've got to count to 1,000. That won't give you patience. Patience is something that the Holy Spirit produces in our spirit that manifests itself in the way that we deal with other people around us. And I can tell you this, that when you are dealing with people, you need to understand the principle of patience. You need to understand that you're going to have to be patient with people. You see, it is one thing when you are working with inanimate objects and you can grab a piece of wood and you can make it do what you want it to, and you can take a piece of metal and you can craft it the way that it needs to be crafted according to the plan and the blueprint. When you take something into the kitchen and you can craft a masterpiece of a dish that is going to be pleasing to the palate. You see, my problem was when I was responsible for cooking my own meals was that I was impatient. So I was never trained on how to cook. I just had to develop those abilities on my own. And the way that you do that is you cooked something until it was the right temperature and it was done to your sufficiency. And so I was all the time sampling the product. I was all of the time wanting to see, is it done yet? And so by the time the meal was done, I was full. And then all I had to do was do the dishes. And I had just come home from work and had cooked dinner. And now the last thing in the world I wanted to do was turn right around and do all of the dishes that I had just had. I just didn't enjoy that process at all. I'm the type of guy that deals with food in an impatient manner. I'm the guy that punches the time into the microwave and wonders why it's taking so long, forgetting how long it used to take just to reheat leftovers when I was a kid. Ecclesiastes says that the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Again, that's Ecclesiastes 7:8. We as human beings like to focus on new beginnings. God likes to focus on successful endings. God likes to work the plan. That's why Jesus came when it was the fullness of time. That's why God's word says that he tells us what the, not just the beginning was in Genesis, but he tells us what the ending is in Revelation. And I will tell you that heaven is a glorious ending. You don't want to miss it for the world. And in between the beginning in Genesis and the ending in Revelation, there is the spot on the time spectrum that human beings have their lifespan on this earth, where they operate in free will. And I can tell you that from the very beginning, God has demonstrated great patience with you and I. So today, don't focus on the beginning of the diet. Focus on the end result that God is going to bring about as a result of it. Don't focus on how come I haven't been delivered from these chains yet. After all, I've been a Christian for all of 12 hours now. Why haven't I experienced complete and total deliverance yet? God wants you and I to develop the skill of walking with Him, and that requires patience on our part. You see, most people that I have encountered do not struggle with how quickly God does something. They want to know what is taking God so long to accomplish things. And the Bible says that that develops an attitude of mockery among people, and they say things continue on from the beginning, but the scriptures say that God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance and to everlasting life. God is demonstrating great patience with us. It is better to have a spirit of patience than it is to have a spirit of pride. God hates pride. God opposes pride. He opposes it outside the church. He opposes it inside the church. He opposes it in the young. He opposes it in the old. He opposes it in the rich. He opposes it in the poor. He opposes pride, period. Because you and I, if we're going to boast, the only thing that we can boast about is God. And so back to our text today in Matthew chapter 18 is a man who owes a tremendous, tremendous amount of money. A talent was something like 75 pounds. He owed 10,000 talents. That's 750,000 pounds. That's a lot. And at 16 ounces, I mean, you can look, that's another, he's roughly looking at a balance of a little over 10 million ounces, whether it was gold or whether it was silver, whatever it was a huge, huge sum of money. And the master realized that there was a debt that was never going to be paid. And so he decided that it was time to take action. He called the servant in, and he began to settle the accounts. And his master commanded that he be sold. You see, in biblical slavery was not about oppression of a different people group, and you know there were some people who were conquered and they were enslaved because they were prisoners of war. It was not slavery based upon the color of skin, but it was a financial bondage, and that's why the scripture says that the borrower is servant to the lender, and you weren't meant to be in bondage. You were meant to be free. You were meant to be at liberty. So he was not only commanded to be sold, but his wife and his children, everything that he had. This was basically a bankruptcy liquidation where the master said, "You owe me, and everything that you have is going to be liquidated until I get back what you owe me." And the servant said, "Master, have patience with me. Have patience with me. I want to apply for a forbearance. I want you to patiently endure with me." It's very similar to a word in the Hebrew that is used to forbear or to delay, or be patient with somebody, that there was a day of reckoning, and instead of that day, there was a continuance that was issued. And I don't know what this servant's strategy was in order to get the resources necessary to pay such a massive debt, but his plea for patience fell upon the master's ear, and the master was moved with compassion, released him, did not put him in bondage, forgave him the debt. Now, I want to remind you that our sin debt that we owed to God was a debt that we could never pay. It was not 10 million ounces or 11 million ounces. It was a massive, massive debt that no amount of good works could ever accomplish. You couldn't pay it off with money. It was not a financial debt. It was a spiritual debt. And the soul that sins shall die. For the wages of sin is death. And everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the position that we were in. And when we come to ask for salvation and ask for forgiveness, we are not negotiating from a term of strength or a position of strength. We are making a plea from a condition of spiritual bankruptcy. And I wish that I could get through to people of how desperate the unforgiven soul's condition is. Say, God, would you forgive me of my sin? Would you have patience with me? Thank you, God, that you have not wiped me off of the planet. Thank you, God, that you have demonstrated forgiveness into my life. And God, you are going to find a faithful servant. That's the one thing that everybody wants to hear when we get to heaven is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so I want to ask you today, when God demonstrates patience to you, how do you act once you have been a recipient of his great forbearance and his great delay and saying, you know what, I'm not only going to forbear, but I'm going to cancel the debt that you have because I love you that much. You see, the master was moved with compassion. There was something inside of him. You see, God sees potential in you. He sees potential in me. And he knows that he can develop that. And what he said was, even though the debt is owed, I believe that I can work in this person's life, and by showing such tremendous love for them, I believe that I can develop them to the point that they are going to be a greater asset to me than the 10 million ounces or 11 million ounces that I would be due. That's what God sees in you. How do you respond to that? How do I respond to that? Peter said, well, God, if they ask me to forgive them, I'm willing to forgive them seven times in a day. I'm willing to do that. That's how much. And Jesus said, well, Peter, you miss the point of forgiveness. The point of forgiveness is not how many times you do it, but how sincerely you do it. And Peter's question had to do with, how am I going to operate toward my fellow man? God had already said that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second was like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so he says, you need to love your neighbor and forgive them sincerely. You need to be patient with them. Okay. And so the servant is forgiven. His debt has been canceled, and he goes out and he finds a servant who owes him 100 denarii. Now, that a denarius was a day's wages. And so denarius, plural of denarius, and it means that this guy owed him 100 days' wages. So, I mean, you figure out how much money you make. You know, if you make $50 a day, this person would have owed roughly $10,000, I think is how that math works out. If my math is working out right, I'll tell you here in just a second. Yeah, he'd owe him roughly $10,000 versus $10 million. I mean, we're talking serious discrepancy in the amount that this one servant had been forgiven and how much another servant owed him. Now, I want you to listen to how this person responds when they are confronted with a debt that they cannot pay. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. If you go up to verse number 26, it says, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. This servant used the exact same verbiage in making a plea for his debt that this other person had used for theirs to be canceled. Have patience with me. Can I apply for a forbearance? Can I get a delay in this? I promise you, I'm going to pay everything. But the person who had received patience, the person who had received forgiveness, was not willing to demonstrate patience or to disperse it. So he says he threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So that's where the term debtor's prison comes from. If you were to go back in history, you would find that's a term where you owed somebody money, you had violated the terms of the contract, and they would throw you in jail, not because you had committed a crime, but because you owed something you could not pay. I wonder how many people are thankful we don't have debtors' prisons anymore. And so this person who had received great forgiveness and had begged for patience and it was given to him failed to demonstrate it. The only problem was there were witnesses. I don't know about you, but if I have a human failing, I want to make sure that there are no witnesses. Now, some people, they think, well, if there are witnesses, you just got to eliminate the witnesses. That's not the solution. The solution is to make sure that you and I are living up to our God-given fruitfulness of the Spirit the way that God wants us to, that we are operating with love, joy, peace, and patience. Because when you were a kid, you needed the patience of your parents. And when you have children, you are going to need to demonstrate patience. And when you are young and inexperienced, you need people to have patience with you while you are learning. And when you are more seasoned and experienced, you are going to need to demonstrate patience for those who are where you used to be. Everywhere you are going to find a need for patience because you may not know all of the extenuating circumstances. You may not know what all was going on in a person's life. You may not realize there was a person who called our home and they left a message on the answering machine. It was a medical situation, and all of this happened right during the time where the hurricanes were taking place. They were also happening during a time when my wife was dealing with a family health issue out in another state and was actually out there. And this person put a message on the answering machine that said, "We are running out of patients," not realizing that they had lost the paperwork that had been sent to them already. And now, after the paperwork had been refiled and resubmitted, that, now they were saying, we've got to have a response and we need it like really quickly. And by the way, I only work up until this point in time during the day. And so that person didn't really understand all of the extenuating circumstances. We live in a fallen world, folks. Jesus said that if we will be patient with people, if we will forgive them, that he will forgive us. But if we do not forgive, if we do not demonstrate patience, then he's going to treat us the same way that we treat other people. That is the golden rule. Treat others the way that you would have them treat you. And I encourage you today, be patient with people. There may be deadlines. And if you blow it with patience, why don't you do this? Why don't you apologize? Rather than blame them, because they did not make you lose your cool. You made a choice to lose your cool. You made a choice to lose your temper. And I'm speaking as one who's lost my cool, lost my temper, and I'm also the person that was never afraid to go back and apologize. And so, why don't the Christians of Brevard County, in this very contentious reality that we live in, why don't we show a little bit of leadership and lead with an attitude of compassion, an attitude of patience, and an attitude of forgiveness? Why don't we say, you know what? God was tremendously patient with me. He waited for me until the seeds that had been planted in my life had come to fruition and I embraced faith. He was patient with me when I was stubborn and disobedient and was not doing the things that he told me to do. He was patient with me when I was negligent of what I should have been doing. God has been patient with me, and I will be patient with you. Father, I pray today that we would show great patience towards those around us. Lord, patience at work, patience at home, patience at church. And we'll see you next time right here on Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."